don't quite know the relationship between the letters of John and John's Gospel and the book of Revelation. Some say that one author wrote them all. Others say that, no, it was impossible. But today, when you listen to our second reading in our Gospel reading, it sure sounds like they were written by the same person, because they sound very, very similar. The wording that is chosen, the theology, if you will, and it's all about love and how we're supposed to love God. And as the Gospel begins, well, there's that sequence. The Father loves me, and I love you, so you have to love one another. And that's what it talks about, you know, the love of our fellow human beings. In fact, at the end, and twice in the Gospel, Jesus said, I'm going to give you a commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. And at the very end, he said, this is the commandment I give you. Love one another. And it's pretty important, I think, that Jesus uses that word, commandment. He's not just saying, well, it's a suggestion. He's not saying, it would be nice. No, he's saying, it's a commandment. This is something that you have to do. Because if we are truly of God, we will love one another. And especially in our second reading, there were a group of people that had left the Christian community to whom John was writing. And he's trying to show the people that remained there that, well, no, they really were not of God because they didn't love. And if you were of God, you would indeed love. And we have contained in that second reading, I think, one of the two famous quotes that we hear most often from the Gospels. One is John 3:16, obviously. God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. And the second comes from the first letter of John, the one we heard today. God is love. Because we struggle with trying to define our God. How do we define a being that is so much bigger than we can possibly comprehend? And we sort of use analogies. Well, God is love. If you could take the reality of love and make it into a being, that would be God. God is love. But again, there's that wonderful sequence that comes from there. It's not only that, well, God loves the Son loves the Father, and the Son loves his disciples, so they are supposed to love one another. But it says something about us as well. Because if God is love, we are made in his image. Tells us that in the very, very beginning of the Bible in the book of Genesis. In God's image, he created us. Male and female, he created us. And if God is love and he created us in his image, guess what we have to do? We have to love. We have to love. And if we don't love, we are not of God. And it sounds so simple. I mean, and it's again, it's a commandment. And we hear Jesus say it time and time again, and we know it. So what keeps us from loving? And we can say, well, sin does. Well, yes, sin does. But all sin is a failure to love. I mean, when Jesus said, you know, I can summarize all these commandments in two. Love God above all things, love your neighbors, your love yourself. If you fail in either of those, if you fail to love, that's what sin is. So what is it that keeps us from loving? And we know we don't love like we should. And as crazy as it sounds, what keeps us struggling to love as we should is the ability to love. How can that happen? In the image of God, we were created. And if God is love, we were made to love. Which meant that God had to give us this gift. That is, at one point, a gift, and another point, a struggle. And that's simply the gift of free will. The ability to love demands free will. Because if we do not have free will, we cannot love. We simply can't. Oh, God could have made this a perfect planet. He could have made it perfect. He could have, you know, programmed all of us to make the right decision time after time after time. And yet he said, yeah, but if I do that, they'll never be able to love. And if God is love, my creatures, if they're going to be like me, have to be able to love. And so God gave us that two-edged sword. We love to have it, but it's one of the biggest things we struggle with. Free will. You go all the way back to Adam and Eve. Their free will. They had a choice to make. You had the whole garden, just don't eat of the fruit of that tree. They had a choice to make, they made the wrong choice. And it's no different for us. We have all sorts of choices to make. And what makes it very difficult as human beings is that I think we have to learn how to not be selfish. Because it's sort of preservation. You know, our inclination is always to look at things and say, well, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? How am I going to profit by this? When in fact, the question is, what's the good of the other? Not what's good for me. I mean, even listen to the gospel. When Jesus defines that idea of love, you can't have greater love than this. What? Than to lay down your life for a friend. Because that's precisely the question you are answering. Is it good for me or is it good for my friend? What's the good? And it takes us a long time, you know, to struggle with this. We're basically selfish people. You know, we learn that when we're small, when we're babies. We cry and somebody comes running to give us something. We have a terrible time sitting there, and as I'd watch my nieces and nephews, and I'm sure I did the same thing with my brothers and sister, that you have all these toys sitting around. You can only play with one at a time. My brothers would come and they'd want to play with one of the toys. No, that's mine. You can't play with that. We're selfish. We're basically selfish people. And so it takes a long time for us to get out of that mindset and ask, what's the good for the other? Not what is good for me. And it's one of the things I think every marriage has to learn. It's not about me. What's good for the other. And that's what real love is about. Not just what's in it for me. What can they do for me? It's no, what I can do for them. And that's what I said, as crazy as it sounds, the times we fail in this thing, doing what Jesus told us to do, loving, it's because God gave us the ability to love. And with that came free will. It's one of the great joys that we have, and it's one of the great things that we carry with us. We carry it on our shoulders. It's a burden at times, because we all have choices to make. And sometimes we make the wrong choice. And that's what we call sin. We fail to love the other. And so we have two readings today that are telling us about God and the reality of loving one another. God is love. I give you a commandment, love one another. And we say, well, that shouldn't be that difficult. As I said, the funny thing is what makes it difficult is that God gave us the ability to love. And with that ability came free will. And I don't have to tell anybody how complicated free will can be. We can make really good choices and we can make really bad choices. We can do the loving thing or we can do the selfish thing. And it takes us a lifetime, I'm convinced. And even after that, we're still not there. But Jesus doesn't give us a lot of wiggle room, though, in this gospel today. Twice he tells us, I'm giving you a new commandment. Again, not a suggestion, not a, if you can do it, go ahead, do it. No, this is what you must do. Because God is love. And if we are made in the image of God, we are made to love. But the struggle always comes. To be able to love, we have to have free will. And with free will, we can make choices. Some are good choices, and some are bad choices.